The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.
You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Every day, listen for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at advanced medical testing centers. Tune in. Get healthy. Now, here are your hosts for the hour, Dr. Herb Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome once again to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and have we got a show for you. Hi, Dr. Slavin.
Good morning, Janet. Well, we've been on radio for a long time. I think for myself, it seems, since 90, 2000,
25 years. He's using his fingers for those of you who don't have a visual.
Yeah, 25 years or so. And through that time, my position on the radio has really been as a patient advocate, because I see a lot of good things that are done for patients. I also see a lot of bad things that are done for patients.
I think that's a very nice classification of what you do, Dr. Slavin, patient advocate.
And
I like that.
Yeah. And the only one, though, that's really in charge of healthcare and has to be the patient. Can't be the doctor. You have to work as a team with the doctor, but you have to be take charge. Don't be afraid to ask questions. Big believer in getting second opinions, because that's how you educate yourself. And there was a report in the New York Times that sort of highlights this. This is something that happened in a small town in Indiana, but I think this happens all over the country. And what happened in Indiana was it's a small town. There was a cardiology group there, very trusted by the people, and then all of a sudden accusations started coming out that they were doing unnecessary procedures. So cardiologists, the unnecessary procedures that cardiologists do might be insertion of pacemakers. In this case, in some cases, it was the replacement of a pacemaker for the newer approach, which is a combination pacemaker defibrillator. They also did stents, coronary artery stents. And so the question is, how often are these tests necessary and how often are they unnecessary? And the only way you really know about that is if you get the proper testing and get a second opinion. Part of the problem in cardiology, though, a lot of what they do is done in an emergency setting. So you really don't have the time to ask questions or get that second opinion. But that's why looking into all these issues in advance, knowing about your health, don't just assume everything is good because you feel good.
Okay. I think that there are so many different reasons why people don't seek out this kind of forward-thinking testing. They're so preoccupied with what's going on right now. Okay, they had a headache yesterday. The stress at their jobs. And so they literally don't have room in their schedules and in their brains to think about, what could possibly be developing? And then after they maybe open the door to think about what's possibly developing that might not have a symptom for 10 years, then to think about possibly treating that, it's overwhelming. And that's where AMT Centers comes in. I think it's the kind of offering here that you're going to get forward-thinking testing as well as the kind of information that is not overwhelming on how to handle it. Just very, very modest changes in your diet, very modest changes in your supplement program, maybe thinking about some of the medications that could be contributing to the developing of a situation, a health challenge situation.
I think everybody should... Let me start off again. I wonder how many people, when they fill that prescription, read the insert that the pharmacy gives you.
Very few. I talk to the people all the time because so many times they come to see me with the side effects of a prescription medication list. Not one single prescription, but say three out of six that they're taking that all contribute to the symptom they're seeking nutrition help about.
So I mentioned the cardiology group. Let me give you an example of how lack of testing can lead you to unnecessary procedures. If you go to a cardiologist and let's say, and this actually I've seen this with my own patients sometimes, go to a cardiologist, they do a stress test. Oh, that looks a little suspicious, the results. You know, it's not black and white sometimes, so if they're going to err, they're going to err on the side of overdiagnosis. This protects them. Let's do a cardiac catheterization, for example. In other words, you may have failed the stress test. Let's do a cardiac catheterization. That's an invasive test to see where blockages are, because if they find a blockage, that's the get-out-of-jail-free card. That's the one that lets them go ahead and do the invasive procedures.
Okay, does the blockage have to be a certain percentage, or it can be any blockage?
Well, theoretically, it has to be at least 70% to qualify for an invasive procedure. Now, who's measuring? Because this has been a criticism of physicians, too, is, you know, that 55% blockage might be exaggerated to 70% to say, okay, this patient might do better with a procedure. But the point is, you have a cardiac cath. That shows the doctor where the blockages are, but it doesn't tell the doctor that you need a procedure, because the purpose of a procedure is to improve the blood flow to the heart. So if you want to check to see if the heart is getting enough blood flow, cardiac catheterization is not the test. That's the test to locate the blockage. The test is a perfusion study. Perfusion study actually determines whether or not the heart is getting enough blood flow, especially with collateral circulation, which will not show up on a cardiac catheterization. So if you can demonstrate that the heart is not getting enough blood flow, then, you know, I think you're on solid ground for doing a procedure that will improve blood flow to the heart. But there are a lot of people that wind up getting procedures that haven't had that test. So you really don't know one way or another. There was a well-known doctor, cardiologist, Dr. Thomas Graybois, lecturing to a bunch of cardiologists. And he said, basically, a couple of tests you have to do, not just a stress test, because if you fail a stress test, theoretically, that means the heart isn't getting enough blood flow. But you also have to do an echocardiogram to see if the muscle, heart muscle, is functioning properly, because with a ejection fraction, and I think he said over 40%, not even 50%, the patient's really not going to benefit by the procedure. But again, this is where second opinions come in, and you know, where you can ask questions and become educated.
Okay.
Now, I see a look on your face.
Don't you think, here's what's behind the look, Dr. Slavin. Don't you think that sometimes patients distrust second opinions because of the brotherhood of doctors, the band of doctors?
Well, possibly. You want to get to another doctor in a different group. You might want to ask your primary care physician to recommend a doctor that hopefully he trusts. But I have to say,
show that I rolled my eyes.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that the band of physicians, but they're all trained in the same manner, and they're all influenced by the same environment, and they don't see that. For example, like we see, all these alternative approaches that save people from requiring all these invasive procedures working over and over again. They don't see that. They just see their patients going in and getting procedure after procedure. And there's a time for that, but there's also a time to avoid them. And that's what we're trying to make a distinction about. And most importantly, though, we'd rather help people not even get to that point or predicament where they have to decide, should I get that procedure? Is it really necessary or not?
Okay. So how beneficial is a stress test? Do you think that they actually are a very good diagnostic tool? Or would you suggest a different approach right from the get-go?
I think the standard stress test is a more of a screening tool, actually, because it's not as precise as it should be, because all they're doing is looking at the electrocardiogram during the stress test and looking for signs of diminished blood flow to the heart. And I think if they see that, they should go on to do more precise testing, like the perfusion scan, which could be done, by the way, at the same time if they wanted to. And then the cardiac catheterization is really the test to determine exactly where the blockage is, because you want to either bypass it or put a stent in.
So with the cardiac catheterization, do you think that patients actually get a very clear picture of what the risks and what the exposures are?
With the cardiac catheterization, just shows where the blockage is. It doesn't show where the... that doesn't have anything to do with the function of the heart. So a lot of times patients will just get that one test, they see a blockage, and right away they're in there. Now, why would they do something like that?
I know. In income, yeah. And a certain amount, a certain number of admissions required by the hospitals where they have privileges.
I mean,
a certain standing in the community, and that kind of was part of the picture, I think, with that cardiology practice in Indiana.
Well, actually, they were working hand in hand with the hospital, because the hospital needs the revenue, and certainly the doctor needs the revenue. So,
and wasn't the hospital a hospital corporation? There was a community hospital as well as a hospital corporation. And what is the corporation responsible for? Not necessarily the humanity of medicine, but rather responsible to their shareholders for the bottom line.
Yeah, but I thought I saw it was a nonprofit hospital.
Well, there was a community hospital. There were two hospitals. One was a corporation and one was a community hospital.
And then there was another mention in this article. It said, last year, a hospital system in eastern Kentucky paid nearly $41 million to settle allegations without admitting wrongdoing that it billed for unnecessary coronary stents and catheterizations after a group of area doctors falsified patient records to justify the procedures.
And I have some follow-up information with regard to our discussion this morning, Dr. Slavin, but it has to be follow-up because we have to take a break right now. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and we'll be right back.
Advanced Medical Testing Centers is proud to sponsor Natural Doc Radio, co-hosted by Dr. Herbert Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor. We are located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard, Suite 209 in Lauderhill, and you can find us on the web at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is your premier blood draw center, staffed by professionals with over 15 years' experience, clean, comfortable, and efficient. We guarantee your appointment time and guarantee the lowest price. We test for cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes, and more. We draw for all specialty labs, including Access, Health Diagnostic, Singulex, Innovative, Quest, LabCorp, and others. Call us today to set up an appointment. 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332.
Janet Cimarelli is the licensed nutrition counselor and co-host of Natural Doc Radio. Are you in search of the fountain of youth, trying to figure out how to stay young and healthy? There are three main factors that will determine how well you age. The good news is you can take control of all of them and dramatically slow down your aging process. through her remote counseling sessions. She works with many clients to help them manage these three areas to stay young, vibrant, and healthy. She can help you maintain optimal health that will have you looking and feeling young again. She offers sessions through telephone, Skype, or email. Sessions are 30 minutes long, and she provides you with the in-depth knowledge and information you need to slow the aging process. Schedule your appointment today at JanetCimarelli.com. Don't wait. Your clock is ticking.
And welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and we're talking about a cardiology group. And I'm going to insert in there.
You have to say in Indiana.
In Indiana. Okay. Very clear. That was doing unnecessary procedures. And I have to say, I don't necessarily think that that is such an unusual situation. And one of the explanations for why the cardiology group might have been doing these procedures was that Medicare and private insurances tend to reimburse very, very well for cardiology procedures. So, you know, it very, very much behooves the informed patient. Dr. Slavin talks about them as healthcare consumers, and I should say talks about you all listeners out there as healthcare consumers. It behooves you to take a look at your overall health situation and not just a CBC, not the very, very basic blood testing information, but the more informed testing that you can receive, seeing the development situations. Dr. Slavin?
Okay, so what do we do if, well, what do we do to sort of stay healthy and try and avoid the need for these invasive procedures? Not that they couldn't be life-saving at certain times,
okay,
but they're being overdone. And even the American Medical Association, in their journal, reported, this is years ago, that 50% of bypass operations were unnecessary. So it just they're unnecessary because the appropriate testing isn't being done in advance of the procedure, because they may have seen that the patient would really not benefit from the procedure. You know, we know who benefits automatically, whether it's necessary or unnecessary. But what we really want is the patient to benefit from the procedure. And by the way, when you have a death rate associated with particular procedure like bypass, varying from 1 to 5%.
In what time frame after the procedure? During, immediately
usually,
after?
Usually they say within 30 days.
30 days. Yeah. Okay, 1 to 5% death rate after bypass surgery. Okay.
Still a lot of people.
That's a lot of people. And then when you go and take a look at what the death rate within the following 12 months is, that I think there's
Here's another example. I had a patient talking to me about his mother, 82-ish, something like that. And she was having gastrointestinal complaints. And they did a lot of testing on her, CAT scans and things like that. But he wasn't really that clear exactly what was going on. And when they brought her into the hospital, they opened her up. They were going to do something. He wasn't sure. Maybe she had an obstruction. That would be the reason, if you're obstructed, to do surgery. But they never once mentioned cancer to him in advance. And when they opened her up, they told him she had disseminated cancer all over. And I would have thought they would have been able to pick that up with
proper testing
prior to surgery. And then, by the way,
what were they planning to do for this person, just opening her up?
And I think he said, you know, she didn't leave the hospital alive, but probably didn't live for more than 24 hours after the surgery. So the real question is, are we taking the right approaches and doing the right testing in advance? Or are the doctors putting their reimbursements in front of before the patient's welfare.
Ooh, what a question.
Well, and I'm not saying, probably in the majority of time that doesn't happen, but there are instances where it does. But we want to protect the public.
Okay, but the other part of that is sometimes the doctors are in a no-win situation.
Oh, for sure.
Right. And the other aspect of it is so many times the family is pushing for an heroic approach.
Well, that's an issue too.
Save my mother.
But it sounds to me that there wasn't good enough communication between the doctor and the family. So the family is in lockstep with the doctor. They know exactly why he's doing what he's doing. And they know the risks and they know the outcome. Because if someone has, in their 80s, you know, metastatic cancer, you might want to think twice about bringing them to surgery.
Oh, for certain. Oh, my goodness.
Just like another instance of, I think, doctors putting themselves ahead of the patient when they keep dripping chemotherapy into patients until they stop breathing. In other words, you know it's hopeless. There comes a point when you know it's just not going to work. When do you stop? You know, so I think these are all things to question. Now, the reason doctors get away with it, and like I said, this is a minority of physicians, but you still have to be careful. But they have a good bedside manner. They really have a good rapport with the patient, and they can take advantage of that. The patients trust the doctor. But that still doesn't mean you can't have a good discussion with him, get a second opinion, get a better understanding for yourself.
Sometimes, from what I hear from the clients that I talk to, Dr. Slavin, the doctors are very almost insulted with the opening of a discussion, so to speak. And the other part of these unnecessary or uncalled for procedures to make a truly informed evaluation of the necessity, would you say that it falls equally on both sides, that the patients and the patient's advocate must make the right inquiries? They must open the discussion in such a way that is not combative, but informative instead. And so I think on both sides of the issue, a little bit of personality modification can be helpful.
All right, an easy question, because a lot of times the healthcare consumer doesn't know the right questions to ask.
Right.
But here's a universal question I think that can be helpful. If this was your mother or father, is this exactly what you would be doing for them?
It's very, very interesting because years and years and years ago, a client I was working with was inquiring, she was having a third opinion, inquiring about the necessity of a procedure that had been suggested by one of her physicians. And the doctor said to her, she did not ask, the doctor said to her, if it were my mother or sister, I would not do it. Which is very interesting, just exactly what you said.
Well, making your point, sometimes the families are unrealistic in their expectations.
That's true.
And they think the doctor is a miracle worker.
Okay, but sometimes also when the patient is in a hospital setting, do you see that sometimes the hospital tends to hold on to a patient?
Actually, these days, I don't think
so. Not these days so much, but I have seen it
because,
in the past.
And the reason for that is it's actually the pendulum has swung the other way. They get patients out too soon. And the reason for that is hospitals are paid based on a diagnosis.
Right.
Not based on whether the patient needs to be in a hospital or not.
So don't the diagnoses get manipulated a little bit?
They get manipulated to improve compensation.
Right.
But they still... it used to be you got paid per day, every day the patient stayed in. So the hospitals had an incentive to keep people.
Right.
Now they're not paid based on that. So now their incentive is to get them out of the hospital. So if you have the right diagnosis, whether you're in the hospital for one day or 10 days, the hospital gets paid the same.
Okay. And if the hospital is manipulating, there will be multiple diagnoses to cover additional days in the hospital.
They have departments now set up.
Right.
Billing departments to, well, it's not to utilize the system the way they set it up. Frankly, I don't like the system because you really don't know, you know, it doesn't reflect what's going on with the patient, really, as opposed to, you know, you're in the hospital for 10 days. Hospitals should make the money. Now, they shouldn't keep the patient unnecessarily either.
Right.
So, and it is funny, they have utilization committees making sure that that doesn't happen.
So here's the bottom line. Set up any system, and there are people who can manipulate it.
Well, how would you like, well, I mean, depends what side of the fence you're on.
Yes, Janet, is the right answer.
You know, and I'm not sure, I guess it simplified the whole thing. Instead of basing compensation on actually what was done for the patient and what was used, they say, look, this is the diagnosis. This is what we think it's worth based on averages that we figured out. If it's costing you more than what we pay you, you're not doing a good job. You're not efficient. And if you can get that patient out sooner, you're very efficient and make the extra money.
Okay, so we don't necessarily evaluate how well the patient did
Doctors are under a lot of pressure to get the patients out.
Right.
When unfortunately, when the hospital tells them.
Right. Okay, so it is a system that has evolved that has nothing to do with patient well-being. It has to do with economic and ultimately political policies, and that the system is run by politics and private corporations, and I'm thinking about insurance companies.
Well, remember, I broached this question before. Who does your doctor work for? Well, what's happening more and more, they also have hospitalists now. They don't know the patient when they come in. They work for the hospital, and you go into the intensive care unit or coronary care unit, you're under the care of a hospitalist. The hospitalist works for the hospital.
Okay, so explain to our listeners a hospitalist.
Well, it's a doctor that works in a hospital, employed by the hospital. So his allegiance is to the hospital, and they're going to judge him, you know, based on
productivity,
his performance,
and
which is nothing wrong with that, as long as it's not carried to an extreme.
Okay, so it's almost time for us to take a break here, Dr. Slavin. And when we come back, one of the things that I always like to do for our listeners is offer some solutions, offer some informed tidbits that are going to be supportive of their overall health, that are going to, here's the thing, keep them out of the hospital and away from those hospitalists. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and more after these messages. Done at AMT Centers, that gives you the opportunity for a nutritional evaluation of your lab test results. Florida licensed nutritionist Janet Cimarelli can offer a review of your lab results with suggestions for dietary and supplemental support to balance your blood test results. For more information, visit amtcenters.com or call 754-216-2332. The Institute of Advanced Medicine brings you the latest in natural health care, reviewing the published research, attending conferences with health experts from around the world. That allows the healthcare team at the Institute of Advanced Medicine in Lauderhill to provide you the quality and experience you're searching for in a healthcare team. Testing to target your individual needs and treating with natural and holistic approaches, the goal is wellness. You can reach the Institute of Advanced Medicine easily on Commercial Boulevard, just west of the Florida Turnpike, or three blocks east of University Drive in Lauderhill. You can call us 954-748-4991 to learn more. 954-748-4991. Welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin. And before we get back to today's discussion, a reminder coming up on October 31st from 8 in the morning to 11 in the morning, a free event. That's right, free event. And it takes place at the Advanced Medical Testing System Centers that is our sponsor here on Natural Doc Radio.
And a free event suggests they're giving away something.
They are giving away for free a blood test that's very comprehensive, a CBC. That's a complete blood count. You'll get your white blood cell, red blood cell, hemoglobin, hematocrit, and so on. And a chem panel that'll give you your sodium, potassium, and a whole list of other blood information in the chem panel, as well as a urinalysis. So you're going to see a very nice profile, a starting basic profile of where your blood and urine chemistry is. So that's October 31st, 8 in the morning to 11 in the morning. And that is free. Dr. Slavin, you have a quizzical look.
Well, a couple of things. Rather than writing down the phone number to call to make a reservation, just go to our website, Natural Doc Radio, and if you scroll down, you'll see at the bottom of the page all the information about the event.
Okay.
The phone number, the time, so you'll remember it.
Okay,
so, but naturaldocradio.com.
Because I memorized the phone number, can I give out?
Sure.
Okay, yeah. Very good. 754-216-2332. 754-216-2332 is the number to call to make a reservation for your spot to have your blood tested. And that's coming up Saturday, October 31st. So let us know you're coming. And I just wanted to tell everybody that today, what's today? Today is Tuesday. It's Tuesday, so this must be Toonies. Toonies Fort Lauderdale, and I will be there. And I just want to let everybody know that all of the Toonies stores have my products, Jana Juice, which is a very complete profile of all of the very high antioxidant content fruits in a capsule. So you don't have to add very odd tasting juices to your smoothie in the morning. Very easy to take any time throughout the day. So high in antioxidant content and so very effective at reducing inflammation. And when you couple it with Janabiotics, which is the probiotic formula, very, very much supported anti-inflammatory, antioxidant protection. And you can find these very same products, Jana Juice and Jana Biotics, at Dr. Herb Slavin's office as well. Okay, Dr. Slavin, back to our discussion about how to protect yourself from unnecessary procedures that unfortunately these people in Indiana didn't have that kind of information. They were blindly trusting.
Well, they had a, you know, obviously the patients have a relationship with their doctor and they trust their doctor. And a lot of times, and in particular with cardiology, a lot of these procedures are done in an emergency setting. So that's part of the problem too. You don't really have a chance to get that second opinion or to understand what's going on. But that's why I think you need to have a good relationship with a physician in advance of an emergency. So there are no surprises, you know. In other words, it would be much more common to have an emergency with someone that we know has coronary artery disease, for example, and doesn't take care of themselves versus someone who's completely healthy, as far as we know, no symptoms, you know, less likely to have these types of emergencies. Although we hear about them now and then, you know, those are the ones that get the publicity, the ones, how the healthy person, why did that happen? But for the most part, you know, healthy people are healthy for a reason, and they don't run into these cardiac emergencies with the same frequency as the people that are overweight, not watching their diet, not exercising, smoking, drinking. You know, these are the habits that and sugar that undermine your health that make these emergencies more common.
The idea is don't abuse your body. But with regard to some of the forward-thinking testing that people can do so they can evaluate what their risk might be, let's say in 5 years, 10 years, 20 years even. And I'm talking about we have the capacity now to evaluate genes and what your genetic risk is. And we have the capacity now to evaluate nutrient status. And when your nutrient status is optimized, then your risk of developing certain serious disease states is much reduced.
That's true. And but let's find out if you might be deficient in a nutrient. So what are the questions you have to ask yourself? Are you eating a balanced whole food diet? I mean, how many people do that?
No, and I have this kind of discussion all the time. It's interesting because I did a lecture just about a week ago, and the people did not want to take any supplements. They just wanted to achieve their optimized nutrient status through their diet. And I'm sorry, but the way our food supply is, we're not necessarily 100% assured that you're getting a certain level of nutrient content, even with high-quality organic foods.
Well, that's true, because you don't know the type of soil it was grown in. If it's organic, you hope it's better than, you know, the non-organic
production. There are very specific standards for fields to be classified as organic.
But ideally, you want to pick the food that day and eat it.
Right.
You know, it could be a week or two before it gets to your table.
Right.
And that'll diminish the content. So I think that, having said that, then everybody's at risk of being deficient in nutrients.
Well, you think about how many people are taking statin class cholesterol-lowering drugs. Do you think their vitamin D status is any good? Vitamin K, vitamin E, vitamin A. Those statin drugs are interfering with how they manage fat-soluble nutrients.
Well, we test nutrient levels in our office routinely on people. And I would say 100% of the people are deficient in vitamin D if they're not taking a vitamin D supplement.
And I see that all the time as well.
So, and why is that important? Because the studies show that the people who are deficient in vitamin D have the highest incidence of certain types of cancer, multiple sclerosis, even colds. They're even mentioning, you know, heart disease and
colon cancer.
Well, colon cancer, breast cancer, prostate cancer. All these things are helped, prevented with proper optimized vitamin D levels.
And see, Dr. Slavin is allowed to say that disease is being prevented with that nutrient. I can't say that, but I can say it can enhance your health and well-being.
Well, can't you say, I mean, it's published in the literature all over the place. You can, still can't say it?
I can't say a nutrient prevents disease, which is so sad.
Can you say that this article in the New England Journal of Medicine?
I can say that.
You can say it in that context.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not saying it. The New England Journal is saying it.
Right. And here's another test we routinely perform, and that's your omega-3 levels.
Also interfered with when you're taking statin drugs.
And again, I'm going to say this, if you're not taking a supplement, unfortunately, you're deficient. I see that across the board.
So yeah. many people, you know, they're attentive to diversity and quality in their diets, but your digestive system integrity comes into play with this evaluation. So there's so many different details to be aware of, and you can come to AMT centers. What are some of the tests here at AMT centers that will give people insight into their nutrient status?
Well, there are some panels that are focused strictly on nutritional status, and labs that specialize in that. Although we can order individual tests sometimes too, like coenzyme Q10 levels, by the way, routinely deficient in people, vitamin C levels, vitamin D, all the B vitamins, minerals as well, copper, zinc.
People don't think about copper so much, and it's very important to have a zinc-copper ratio in the proper range.
But I want to get back to the omega-3s. You get that from fish oil. And here's the point, and here's the importance of measuring. And a lot of people are using what we would term the apparent omega-3 instead of EPA and DHA. The parent being, coming from like borage or flaxseed oil.
The conversion process is very complicated and dependent on very specific internal factors.
Exactly. So you really want to measure these levels, because it's the EPA and DHA that you want to be in the optimum levels. And why is that? Because people deficient in omega-3s have certain health issues more commonly: cardiovascular disease, cancer, depression, Alzheimer's, rheumatoid arthritis, and diabetes, among others. Now, here's the point. And also, the omega-3s work as a, besides an antioxidant, an anti-inflammatory.
Right.
So, I mean, it's anti-inflammatory action that plays a big role.
How many people do you see with maybe very, very minimal symptoms, but symptoms of colitis, irritable bowel, that kind of thing? And when you're taking omega-3 fish oils, you reduce that inflammation. When you add a probiotic to that mix, very significant benefit. And in my view, there isn't a very efficient way of achieving that balance and that support through diet alone.
Another test we do routinely is vitamin K.
And now, do you see very many people who are deficient in vitamin K?
Not as much.
Interesting.
No.
Yeah. Because a lot of people are very, very attentive to their cruciferous vegetables, their greens. More and more people are getting away from just kale and spinach and introducing some of the other greens, leafy greens, into their routine. As little as iceberg lettuce. And people out there might be rolling their eyes and say, there's no nutrient content in iceberg lettuce. Oh, yes, there is. It's vitamin K. You heard it here on Natural Doc Radio. And we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, more good information for your health. Stay tuned. Current medical treatment addresses problems and symptoms when your ship of health has gone aground, hit the shoals of disease, so to speak. Now, advanced medical testing helps to guide you through the stormy seas of disease. The information from high-tech lab tests such as Doctor's Data, Spectracell, Cleveland Heart Lab, Access, Health Diagnostics Laboratory, and Genova. These advanced tests assist you and your doctor to navigate the treacherous waters of disease development. Call 754-216-2332 to find out more, or visit amtcenters.com.
Are you looking for expert advice on how to improve your health, but want to do it from the comfort of your home? Now you can conveniently schedule remote consultations with Janet Cimarelli at janetcimarelli.com. Janet is a licensed nutrition counselor specializing in the field of natural foods and supplements. Janet offers consultations via telephone, Skype, or email with convenient and flexible times to meet the needs of your busy life. Janet will educate you on how to manage your diet and lifestyle to overcome illness. Her areas of expertise include allergies, diabetes, heart disease, hormone replacement, weight management, insomnia, and healthy aging. Don't wait. Schedule your appointment with Janet, and she'll guide you to change your diet and change your life. Take control of your health at JanetCimarelli.com. And tune in to hear Janet on Natural Doc Radio, Monday through Friday, 10 to 11 a.m., right here on AM 1470 WNN.
Welcome back to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and we're talking about a special event that's taking place October 31st at the Advanced Medical Testing Centers, and you can find out about it 754-216-2332. Schedule your appointment for a free CBC, complete blood count, chem panel, and your analysis. Free. And learn about a whole wide range of additional testing that we're talking about now. How you can evaluate your nutrient status. How you can evaluate risk of developing certain issues. Dr. Slavin, one of the ones that I am very, very interested in is the risk of developing osteoporosis. There's a test that you do for how well calcium is metabolized. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Well, the test that everybody's familiar with is a bone density. Unfortunately, the bone density test was developed in order to sell drugs. And how did they do that? Well, they compared the woman to a 25-year-old. So right away, it's assumed that you're going to be deficient and require a drug. What the test that we do, the enteropeptide measured in the urine, measures whether or not you're losing excess bone. So if you're not losing excess bone because you're exercising, your hormones are balanced, you're taking vitamin D and vitamin K, and you're not losing excess bone, the need for drugs, regardless of the condition of your bones, whether they're normal, they're osteopenic or osteoporotic, really doesn't matter because your body is accomplishing everything it needs to accomplish. And you can tell this in a test that can be repeated on a regular basis, whereas with a bone density, you have to wait 2 years for a repeat to see if there's been any change. In the meantime, you're taking drugs for 2 years that may or may not be helping you. Certainly associated with lots of side effects.
In one of my continuing education classes, I was shown a diagram about how those alendronate class of drugs tend to make the outer edge of the bone thicker and the interior of the bone more striated. So they weren't cohesive bone cells in the interior of the bone, and that the type of fracture that you were likely to experience after using these particular class of drugs was more serious. And it wasn't a hip fracture so much as a fracture of the femur, which was a much more difficult repair considering how the bone was maintained. And it's very interesting because the bone density test will show you that, yes, indeed, you're accomplishing the effects you're looking for because the outer edge of the bone appears to be thicker. And that's what's measured in the bone density scan.
Right. Bone density doesn't correlate with bone strength.
Right.
And speaking of bones, we measure routinely magnesium levels. Magnesium is not just important for bone health, but also cardiovascular health. That's a major cause. Magnesium deficiencies are associated with migraine headaches, high blood pressure, heart attacks, strokes, sudden cardiac death. So what do we find when we check people? A very high percentage of people are deficient in magnesium. Now, why would that be? You have to think about, where do you get your magnesium from? Do you get it at fast food places?
I don't think so.
No, you really get it from eating a healthy diet, mainly I like to say vegetables and nuts and seeds. Those are good sources of magnesium. And it's easy to replace, and it's not even an expensive nutrient. And it's also been called nature's calcium channel blocker. We've all heard about calcium channel blockers used to control cardiac arrhythmias and to treat high blood pressure. Well, magnesium accomplishes the same thing. And the reason you're given those drugs, by the way, is because you're probably deficient in magnesium.
And when you schedule that appointment for the free CBC chem panel and urinalysis at AMT centers on October 31st, you can also schedule a special test for evaluating your magnesium status. If you get a serum magnesium test, what good is that, Dr. Slavin?
Not very good. 90% of your magnesium is within the cell, so you have to do a red blood cell magnesium. That's available. We have other ways of testing magnesium, but that's the easiest one to do.
Okay, so magnesium. What about zinc and the zinc-copper ratio? I think that I got an email this morning reminding me, it might have come from Walgreens, I'm not sure, reminding me that as many as 49,000 people died last year of complications from the flu because the flu vaccine didn't work. Well, they didn't say that the flu vaccine didn't work. They said 49,000 people died of complications. Yes. And that was information disseminated from the CDC, and it was a woman's physician's name that came with it. Anyhow, if you support your vitamin D levels, if you support your omega-3 levels, if you support your zinc levels, your immune system's going to be so primed it can fight off whatever you might have to fight off.
And think about it. What the vaccine attempts to do is stimulate your immune system to produce antibodies. If you're deficient in these nutrients, all the stimulation in the world is not going to produce the antibodies required to successfully fight off the flu. That's why, under the best of circumstances, you have 50% of the people not really getting any benefit from a flu shot. And in the elderly, the numbers may be 30% or less that get any benefit from the flu shot.
So one of the things that I like to do as an option, it isn't necessarily as quick as the flu shot, but I think it's leaps and bounds better, is something that you offer at your office, Dr. Slavin. It's the ultraviolet blood treatment. I think it just so primes your immune system, and I think it's a perfect way to start the flu season. So an ultraviolet blood treatment is something, people don't have to be a patient in your practice to have an ultraviolet blood treatment, do they?
No.
Okay, so coming into the Institute of Advanced Medicine, and you can talk to the people about setting an appointment for an ultraviolet blood treatment.
Now, we just have a couple minutes left. There are still a few other very important nutrients that we're only hitting on
highlights.
A couple, but these are all commonly deficient in people. B12, vitamin B12, you need to check.
I think that people think about B12 as something that's going to give them a lot of energy. I think mostly it's going to enhance brain function and very, very supportive of red blood cell chemistry.
Well, here's the thing, too, is you really don't want to wait till you become so deficient that you become symptomatic. It'd be better to correct deficiencies before you get sick from them. For example, a B12 deficiency associated with mental fog and memory problems, mood swings, fatigue, muscle weakness, tingling in the extremities. But has your doctor even checked for
B12 deficiencies when you complain of these things?
Probably not, my guess.
Another important vitamin, vitamin E. That one is probably a deficient, commonly deficient vitamin as well.
Because of statin drug use, possibly.
And, I mean, I'm sorry,
Dr. Slavin, but I'm going to say even the natural approaches to reducing cholesterol could very well be interfering with a person's ability to deal with fat-soluble nutrients.
And vitamin E is both a anti-inflammatory as well as an antioxidant.
Hormone support.
It helps support normal cholesterol levels, and as an antioxidant, it protects against free radical damage.
I think we're going to get run off the air, Dr.
Really?
Slavin.
Well, one last thing. This Friday, Sylvia Binder,
yes,
the president of OnDemand Companies in Germany and New York, and she'll be here on Friday talking about energy medicine, a very important topic.
Fabulously interesting. And to all of our listeners, thanks so much for tuning in to Natural Doc Radio. And we'll be back tomorrow, same time. See you then.
You have been listening to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Listen every day for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in again next time and get healthy. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of the station, its staff, management, or sponsors.